Exodus chapter 25, starting at verse number 23. The Bible says, make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold and make a molding around it. Also make around it a rim, a hand breadth wide, and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the table. Fasten them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. And make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of offerings. Pour the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. How many of y'all remember the Atkins diet? How many people did the Atkins diet? Some of us have tried the Atkins diet, and as you know, I don't know the science behind it all, but the Atkins diet is a high protein and a no-carb diet. That means foods that are rich in carbohydrates, you don't eat. One of the foods that is extremely rich in carbohydrates is bread. Now, I don't know about you all, but I can't imagine being on the Atkins diet and someone saying, let's go to Olive Garden. And as you are suffering there and salivating as you eat your piece of meat, and you're watching the waitress say, would you like me to bring more of these hot, gooey pieces of bread slathered in garlic and butter? Bread is good, church. That's just truth. As we know truth, that God is alive, we know that bread is good. One of the lasting memories of my dad is that every meal that he ate with a piece of bread. I don't care what type of bread. Yeah, my dad loved bread so much, even, you know, the little end parts, the butt sides of the bread. My father tore those up too. He loved bread. We love bread because it's so good. I wish you were all sitting closer to here, because I have some bread here and it's slathered in some garlic herbs. And if you're up here, you can smell it. You can smell it. It's pretty good. I'm saying I didn't eat breakfast. There's an article I read this week that's entitled, Bread Makes You Nicer. Now listen to this. It says, who doesn't love bread? Here's another reason to love the warm, fluffy stuff. A study claimed that the smell of fresh bread can make you nicer to strangers. The study, published in a journal of social psychology, came out of where else? France. They know a thing or two about bread. It says 8 incognito volunteers dropped items like a glove or a handkerchief outside of a bakery. The study says 77% of strangers stopped and handed the item back to the volunteers. Some even grabbed the item 60 feet away. Farther from the warm bakery, however, things got colder. The study says only 52% of strangers lent a hand when they were outside of a clothing store. So what they're trying to determine is, or what they're stating is, that the smell outside of a bakery does something to the senses and literally makes you nicer. Bread is a powerful item. I remember a few years ago, the Wallaces had a exchange student from the Ukraine named Dasha. And I remember that pleasant girl. We were in class and we were talking about bread. I don't know how we got on the subject. We were just talking about cultures and how different the cultures were. And she was saying that in their culture, fresh bread is sacred. They never eat stale bread. They never eat day old bread, because the idea of fresh bread, if you drop a piece of bread on the floor, a piece of fresh bread, people, like, they go, you dropped your bread. Because it's so sacred. Bread does something to us. It's an important. Any way you slice it, all you need is a loaf. Why did God make a table and put bread on it? If you were to enter the tabernacle from the east and you walked in, on the right, as soon as you walked in the entry, you would see a table, not a table as plain as this, but a table covered in gold. All the utensils and pitchers and plates was all covered in gold. And sitting on top of that table were two stacks of bread, two stacks of six loaves of bread, probably 12 to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. We've got to ask ourselves, when we look at the tabernacle, why did God tell Moses to make a table and put bread on it? Was it to remind the people of the manna that rained from heaven as they traveled in the wilderness in Exodus 16, where God fed a complaining people, a people who had just saw this grand deliverance out of Egypt as they traveled on dry land through the Red Sea and saw those waters come back and drown those who were pursuing them. They had just saw that, and on the other side of that, after seeing that great and experiencing that great deliverance and seeing the destruction of those who would certainly kill them if they caught them, they celebrated on the other side. They danced, they had a party, they ate, they celebrated the God of Israel for his deliverance. And just a few seconds later, they said, "Moses, how come you done brought us out here in this desert to die? We were eating good when we were enslaved in Egypt and oppressed in Egypt. Why have you brought us out here to die?" Now, God could have burned his anger. He could have said, didn't y'all just see what? He said, "But this is what I'm going to do for you. Every day, I'm going to rain bread from heaven." And he told him how and instructed him how to gather the food. So did God tell Moses to build this table in the tabernacle to remind them of when he fed them with the manna? This event was cause for great praise generations later. In Psalm 105, verse number 39, the psalmist writes, "He spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give light at night. They asked and he brought them quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the water gushed out like a river. It flowed in the desert. He rained manna bread and gave them quail, a bird." So, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but that's where chicken and biscuits was invented. I'm just saying. Did God tell Moses to make this table and put bread on it? Was it because it was Jehovah that fed the Israelites and provided for the Israelites and protected the Israelites? Was it because bread was a reminder of being nourished by God? And why a table? Was it because God invited the people to a table? Just prior to these instructions that we receive in Exodus chapter 25, we read the story in Exodus 24 of the elder priest on a mountain eating with God, eating in the presence of God. The text says that they saw the God of Israel as they ate with one another. God invited them and had them eat at this table. Was it because the table suggests fellowship with the Lord Almighty? Was it a table because like David wrote in Psalm 23 in verse number 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So even when surrounded with danger, God provides a table and he feeds. In the tabernacle, we see a present God ready to feed and nourish. No Atkins diet here. You can have all the bread you want. Smell this satisfying bread and eat. But wait, you can't have this bread. The average Israelite couldn't have this bread. The only ones who could eat this bread were those of the Levitical tribe belonging to the family of Aaron, the high priest. And on the Sabbath day, they could eat the bread in the tabernacle. The bread was placed there by some folks, and it stayed there to the next Sabbath day. And when it was going to be replaced with new bread, the high priest could eat the old bread, and then they would have to wait another week. So you all can't have that bread, only the high priest. And I'm going to be the high priest today so I can have all I want. None for you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse number 31, a Levite named Mattathiah, the first son of Shallum, the Korahite, was entrusted with the responsibility for baking the offering bread. Some of the Kohathite brothers were in charge of preparing for every Sabbath the bread set out on the table. Aaron and sons did not eat fresh bread laid out on the Sabbath day. They ate old bread, but at least they got to eat some bread, and the rest of the people didn't get to eat it. Let me remind you the reason that we are talking about the tabernacle. We're talking about the tabernacle because we want to talk about something better. You see, in Christ, we see something better. Christ said, "I am the bread of life." You see, Jesus says he is the true bread. Jesus said, when you eat this bread, you will be nourished and satisfied. You see, this bread is offered to all. It's not only for the high priest. It's for all of us to eat. This is the bread of life. Listen to the words of an old Dutch Reformed liturgy. It says that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread. We must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ our advocate is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit. As truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Hear Jesus, our Lord, who says this: "I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Hear Jesus, church, when he tells us to pray. And when we pray, he said for us to say, "Give us today our daily bread." In the tabernacle, only special people got to experience the nourishment from the bread of presence. But in Christ, there is something better. We all get to eat of this bread. Yes, it's something that symbolically we partake of when we come together to break bread at the table. At this table that we hold so dear in our religious and spiritual experience. I have suggested in the past that something powerful is taking place because of all that is involved. One of my heroes in theological reflection is Henry Nouwen. He wrote this in a book entitled "With Burning Hearts, A Meditation on the Eucharistic Life." In it, Nouwen writes this: "In the Eucharist, or Lord's Supper, communion, Jesus gives all. The bread is not simply a sign of his desire to become our food. The cup is not a sign of his willing. The cup is not just a sign of his willingness to be our drink. Bread and wine become his body and blood in the giving. The bread indeed is his body given for us. The wine, his blood poured out for us. As God becomes fully present for us in Jesus. So Jesus becomes fully present for us in the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. God does not hold back. God gives all. This is the mystery of the incarnation. That is the mystery of the Eucharist. Incarnation and Eucharist are the two expressions of immense self-giving love of God. And so the sacrifice on the cross and the sacrifice on the table are one sacrifice, one complete divine self-giving that reaches out to all humanity in time and space. Do you hear the power of those words and the power of that reflection? That this table represents much more than just morsels of bread and drops of juice, but it's the expression that Jesus himself gives himself to be the bread, to be the nourishment for our souls. It's God's way of saying, I love you. Why bread? Why does Jesus want you to know he is the bread of life? Why does he want you to participate in the body of Christ? Why does he want you to nourish on the bread daily? Simply put, it is God's way of saying, I love you. He loves you. He will stop at nothing to let you know that he loves you. And he'll stop at nothing to get you to love him back. This is why we cannot overlook the table. As much as we are in love with God and appreciative of his invitation to feast on the bread of life at his table, we should be equally eager to get others to this table. Why should we withhold this blessing from others? Do our hearts burn with a passion not just to eat at the Lord's table, but to get others to this table and eat? There is so much to share, so much to give. The Lord is desiring to have all who might come and eat the bread of life. This is one of those days that some of y'all are going to wish that y'all sat in the middle aisles. Do our hearts burn with a passion to bring people to share the bread of life? You see, this is what got Jesus in trouble. You see, Jesus didn't come to withhold the bread of life or to share it with a few select people. He invited a lot of people to the table. He invited some friends to the table. He had some pretty good friends. He also invited some enemies. He also invited sinners. He invited those who didn't look like the status quo. He invited rich people. For to be like Jesus. I'm sorry if I'm giving this to people who are on the Atkins diet, but just roll with it for just a few moments. Just how you doing, Zach? Are we eager to share the bread of life? By all means, if y'all want to share within y'all row, y'all can do that too. I mean, it's go all the way back. How you doing, Clark? I gave you a piece of bread, man. I saw the food that they serve you in that place, man. I wonder if God uses bread as an illustration because we get it. We like bread. We love bread. We like to share bread. I guess my question for the church is, will we be as intentional as Jesus was at getting people to the table to celebrate the bread of life? Wasn't this bread good? Amen. Why would we not want to share the bread of heaven? Isn't Jesus good? Why wouldn't we want to share the bread of heaven with everyone that we come into contact with? For this very reason, Jesus made enemies because he didn't discriminate when he invited folks to the table. The same nourishment we desire and seek, may it be experienced by those who are seeking nourishment and choose to be nourished by artificial bread. You see, there's so many people out here who would rather be nourished by a relationship. And they get caught up in relationships that's toxic, that's dangerous, and that's killing them. You know, there are some people who seek to get their nourishment from addictions. There's some people who get their nourishment from anger, resentment. There's some people who get their nourishment from hate and intolerance. There's some people who get their nourishment from guilt. It's time for us in the body of Christ to tell people that bread is no good. That's stale bread. That's molded bread. Come get some of the bread of heaven, the bread of life. Come get real and true nourishment. May we, in the vein of the imagination of Paul the Apostle, participate with Christ. Remember, it was Paul who wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? May we nourish on the bread of life, and may we never forget to extend the invitation to all who would come to the Lord's table to partake in his feast. Let's pray. O bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. God, continue to nourish us through your Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus. Father, feed us till we want no more. God, I pray that this nourishment that we enjoy, that we experience, I pray that it replaces all other forms of nourishment that we might choose. God, for those of us who have chosen relationships to be our nourishment, God, I pray that we wean ourselves off of that and partake of the bread of life. Father, for those of us who have chosen addiction to be our nourishment, I pray that we would wean ourselves, that we would stop eating that stuff, that we would feed off of the bread of heaven. God, for those of us who get our nourishment by killing ourselves with hate and anger and resentment or guilt, God, I pray that you would free us, rescue us from that unhealthy nourishment, that malnourishment, and that you would nourish us with the bread of life, Jesus Christ. God, thank you for telling us and showing us that you love us and that you want to provide for us and that you want to take care of us and that you want to protect us. Thank you. And God, as we depart from this table, I pray that we don't return to this table alone, but that we would grab the hands of our friends and our family and say, you need to come. You need to come eat at this table. And you need to participate in the body of Christ. Father, we pray this to you with like minds, like hearts, united souls. This is the body of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to reprise the song that we sang earlier, All to Us. And while we're singing that song, if the church can do something for you and minister to you, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through study, whether it be through conversation and sharing our collective stories, we want to do that and provide that for you. If you'd like to know more information about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you want to place yourself on a journey towards an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we can also offer that to you. If you've been doing that, you've been thinking about it, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to make a public profession to this group to say that I believe that Jesus is my King. I believe he's my Savior. I believe he's my Lord. I believe he died for me. I believe that I can have life in him. I believe that he is the bread of life, the bread of heaven, and I want him to be my sole source of nourishment. And I want to display that and be buried with him in baptism. We can offer that ministry to you as well. So let's stand and let's sing this song.